Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're pleased to have you join us for this show and listening to AFR in general. We hope you listen throughout the day. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Right back at you.
Hey, Fred Jackson.
Good to be here. I'm working on Canadian Thanksgiving. I hope you guys appreciate that.
No, wait a minute now. Today and Thanksgiving, I don't know, what does that have in common?
Canada. It's Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, my apologies.
You're so United States centric.
I know. My apologies for my colonial thought process there. Thanksgiving Day
in Canada.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens on Thanksgiving Day in Canada? What makes it special today? What will happen?
You eat Canadian bacon with maple syrup, right?
That's right. We put bacon inside the turkey and we're happy.
And you guys have turkey up there?
Yeah.
And Ed says he gets tired of the ethnic jokes about Italians and pizza, and he throws one your way.
I get tired Canadian of the bacon. Italian ethnic jokes. I'm all in favor of making fun of Canada.
What does happen up there today?
It is a carbon copy of American Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It is. I mean, it's Big Turkey Day. You're off work. You know, I was just thinking coming across the street, the Canadian folks have worked it out that they have at least one day every month of the year where there's a long weekend.
I'm in favor of that.
They even create it. Like February is like family day.
Hey, the Europeans worked it out where they're off 2 weeks a month.
I know. Hey, I do want to say this. What a lot of people don't know is that on Canadian Thanksgiving, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Detroit Lions in football, they do every year in America.
Right, this is important.
It's a big celebration with family, friends, and you eat and you watch some hockey and
fall asleep in the recliner.
That's about it. It's just a day off.
But is it a Christian heritage event?
It is.
Originally, because you're
giving thanks.
As Marvin Sanders, my late friend, used to say, the most frustrating day of the year for atheists is Thanksgiving Day. Because they look around, they go, who do I, I can't, there's nobody to thank here for,
Yes.
And what's the point of being thankful if it really is meaningless?
Right.
So, so anyway, but the heritage there in Canada, like it is in the U.S., is a Christian heritage.
Very, very thankful. And that's the basis of it. And
you grew up in a Christian home in Canada,
yes,
Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. What is the main, I'm assuming, it's probably 50-50 Catholic Protestant, or is it mostly Protestant?
Certainly in Quebec, it would be mostly Roman Catholic.
Yeah, because the French connection there.
And in French portions of the country, basically, Roman Catholicism, but it's nominal now in many cases. I would say
that sounds familiar.
Well over 50% of the country doesn't go to any church at all.
Yeah. Right.
So it's I'm going back in history a bit.
Right.
In the English, Old English portions, Protestant, various.
What kind of church did you grow up in? In Nova
I grew
Scotia?
Up in a Baptist church.
Yeah.
A Baptist Convention Church that was.
But is that a minority in?
Probably, Canada? Well, I mean, probably now, and it's evolved since then. Actually, a lot of Southern Baptist missionaries have gone to Canada over the years, and certainly in the province of Alberta, which Alberta is kind of Canada's Texas. There's a fairly good sized Baptist presence there.
Okay.
In fact, there is a Baptist college. Down near Calgary,
okay,
it has some overtones into the United States. In fact, a bunch of Southern Baptists in Montana have just opened up formal relations with Baptists in Southern Alberta.
Yeah. I can just see a mission school, back 30, 40 years ago, right, or longer, and they're deciding, sitting around going, okay, we got the Caribbean. And we've got Samoan Islands, and now we need some volunteers for Nova Scotia.
Right.
Huh?
I would say this as a compliment to your country. Excuse me. If there was ever a country that if I had to leave the United States and would move anywhere, Canada's probably the one I would pick.
Yeah, I know why you're going there, because they get full coverage of hockey. No, you're not kidding anybody, Mr. Spiritual.
Well, I didn't say I had the spiritual.
You
want to
go hang out with your bros who love the puck being knocked
drop the
around.
Puck. Let's go.
All
but
right.
But it has been a mission field. Yeah. In fact, Will Graham, who's the son of Franklin Graham, just did a crusade way up in the north, not in the lower provinces, but way up in the north. I've never heard of an American evangelist. You know, they go to Ontario and places like this. Will Graham, the son of Franklin Graham, went way up to like a Callowit or something like that. And I said, really? I didn't know there were that many people to have a crusade up there.
Is that above you? Above Nova Scotia?
Oh, That's way
you get
above
up towards the Arctic Circle. That's, aren't
you're
you?
Getting up 800 miles north of Toronto. I mean, that's way up there in the north.
There's enough people up there to have a crusade.
Well, that's what I wondered about. But he went there to have a crusade.
Well,
yeah.
How do you get there?
A whole lot of flying.
Yeah,
small planes,
and it's not direct.
And the people who come to the crusade come in on dog sled,
depending on the time of the year. It's cold up there.
All right. So it's Thanksgiving Day all across Canada today.
And it's a holiday here in this country, too.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, for bank employees and stuff like that.
Today is Columbus Day.
And that kind of leads into our first story, campus reform. A representative of campus reform. They're a conservative group that looks at what's going on in our university campuses. Eduardo Neret was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about the effort in our academic communities to rename Columbus Day. It's cut number one.
There are plenty of other things that a student government association could be focusing on to help the lives of their students, the daily lives of their students. I'm not sure how, you know, attacking Christopher Columbus, a historical figure that you mentioned, you know, was 500 years ago, is going to better their lives. I think colleges and universities should use this day to talk about what he did, discovering the New World, which is a historic fact. They can't change that. And they can use this moment to say, hey, look, here's some of the bad things that followed. Students, campuses, they're trying to judge historical figures on the standards we have today. And it's just unfair. It's ridiculous. Nobody would survive that test. Our founding fathers, like I mentioned before, anyone in history. And so, again, we have to examine it through the lens of what was acceptable at the time. And we can use today's standards to say, look, that wouldn't fly today. We wouldn't accept that.
You know, I have to wonder if some of these protesting students who don't like Columbus Day are going to show up in the classroom today and just sit there in protest. I doubt that very much. But this is part of the PC environment that we have on our university campuses today. They even would complain about any historic figure that they can label with something.
But that, to me, that's the point. This isn't really about Columbus. It's not really about indigenous people. It is all part of the left's desire. I'm just going to say what I really believe. This does not represent necessarily the view of American Family Association. They want to destroy this country. Hmm. They want to tear it down and rebuild it from a Marxist perspective. And so they start by destroying our history, our foundations, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the founders. You destroy them, so you destroy respect for those documents. This is all part of the strategy to tear down the nation and rebuild it in a Marxist fashion.
That sounds satanic.
I think it is satanic.
Yeah. Can I ask you both, gentlemen, this question? Do you think these kids, you say they want a different form?
Well, I'm saying their professors and the people who are in charge.
This goes to my point. I don't think these kids know what life under Marxism really is.
Of course they don't.
They don't know it.
They first of all, let me just jump in here. They've never experienced it, and they've never been properly taught.
Yes.
What life is like under it. So go ahead.
That is my point. They're out there beating the drum for we need a change. You know, Barack Obama's changed the country, changed the world. But they don't know really what they're fighting for. They've never experienced that. They've never taken a trip to a country like Cuba, which is a socialist/communist country, and seen life down there. And I'm sorry, it doesn't get any better for folks in Cuba. The life that they are living right now is the life that was designed for them by the Castros of this world. If you go down there and you visit it, you would never want what's being preached on these college campuses.
Yeah.
Never.
What all these young people say, and what many of them, like Bernie Sanders, say is, oh, we don't want Venezuela, and we don't want Cuba, and we don't want the old Soviet Union. We want Scandinavian countries. And then the Scandinavian countries go, we're not socialist.
Yeah.
We have high tax rates, but we're a capitalist nation. We believe in private property and all those kinds of things. So it's kind of a bait and a switch, but you know what? Gee, that's kind of what socialists and communists do. We're going to set you free, and then you go, oh, well, we're not really free, and, well, too late now.
Well, Christopher Columbus is obviously worthy of a celebration of what he accomplished and his vision and what it meant to the world certainly at the time and since then. So,
as an individual, he was a man of faith.
Yeah,
he did not when he was there, as far as I know, did not allow slavery. Now, the Spanish coming in afterwards did some terrible things, but you can't blame Christopher Columbus for that. He discovered a country, a nation. I mean, a land.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, and a new world.
And a new world.
Quite frankly, so yeah. And what I've seen some of these, first of all, I wonder what percentage of these college kids, because that's who the attention is paid, you really believe this stuff. Maybe it is 50%. I don't know. But I just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The ones who are always protesting about something conservative or something in our past history that they view as white-centric. Is white-centric a word? White European,
white privilege,
white European,
Eurocentric.
You know, yeah, they anything that's has that in its historical background, they attack.
Yeah,
you know, Christian too, add that into it. But now Columbus Day, they're wanting to. I don't have my phone with me right now, but is it also Indigenous Peoples Day?
That's what they're trying to change the name of to. Columbus Day. To Indigenous People Day.
Okay. I have a question here. You celebrate somebody because of their contributions to humankind, okay? Or the world, or right?
Right.
That's traditionally why we celebrate people. If you look at, it used to be George Washington Day, Abraham Lincoln Day, or they threw them all together into President's Day. Columbus Day, we have a day to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's life, right? Martin Luther King Day. I'm trying to think of some others along the way that we have on our calendar where you commemorate someone's contributions to our world. But I don't know what we have. I don't know when you say Indigenous Peoples Day. What are you saying? What is the accomplishment that we're celebrating? Just being Indigenous?
Yeah, well, I mean,
Indigenous means they're talking about Native Americans, right?
Right. The what they say.
Why don't they
the
just
original...
call it Native American Day?
Well, I don't know.
I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
I need
know.
Answers.
I know. Well, I think the reason they don't call it Native American, I think, is Indigenous. Indicates they were here first, they were original, and
we don't
and
know who
Europeans,
was before them, but
Europeans right. invaded basically
that's the whole
their
point,
land. That's
right?
the whole point. And so I think we should celebrate the Aztecs who engaged in child sacrifice and
because they were Indigenous.
They tore the hearts out of their enemies and so let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate that kind of
My point is that there is The what they're wanting to switch to here, those people that we're talking about here on the left, they're wanting to switch from Columbus to Indigenous, right? That's their goal.
Right.
Get rid of Columbus Day and insert Indigenous Peoples
right.
Day. My thing is, I don't have a problem with celebrating somebody who is Indigenous. Give me something that they accomplished. Otherwise, you're just celebrating an
existence.
An existence. So right. Why don't we have, you know, we can have all kind of days, right?
Right.
I'm sure these same people would be excited to celebrate White European Christian Day, don't you think, Ed?
Yeah, I think you're,
You think so?
You lost me there. As a Marxist, you just, as a Marxist rabble-rouser on the campus, you just lost me.
Yeah. But do you see my point, seriously, right. about we commemorate a day to honor somebody because of their accomplishments.
Right.
Or what they contributed, not just because they existed. Right. And so when I see Indigenous Peoples Day, I'm going, and they did what?
Right.
They do. Tell me what they did exactly that
honoring.
We're having a special day other than just being in existence. Right. So you're listening to today's issues. By the way, we never did tell folks who many of them are clamoring now to know how can I watch this show and how can I get the information they're talking about.
And that is the sound you're hearing is clamor from the folks.
Clamor.
If you go to Facebook or YouTube
uh-huh.
and search for today's issues, this here show will pop up and you'll be able to watch us.
Okay, Facebook or YouTube, type in today's issues and we live video stream.
Yes, we do.
Okay. And by the way, tomorrow we start our Share-a-thon here at American Family Radio, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so 3 days. Now, we'll still have all our regular shows with all our regular hosts.
Right.
But we will be talking at least some about what our financial needs here are at American Family Radio. Because guess what, folks? It ain't free. American Family Radio, we have to buy radio towers. We have to buy land. We have to pay engineers, electric bills, all kinds of things that we have to pay for that make this broadcast possible here at American Family Radio. So we would just ask you to pray with us about this. The Share-a-thon is a themed shoulder to shoulder. We get that from the scriptures, right, Ed?
That's right.
And so shoulder to shoulder, standing shoulder to shoulder. So if you would, again, help us out and be as generous as you can the next 3 days here during our Share-a-thon, because we, we have financial needs. We rarely mention it, right?
3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall, that's it.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't pass the virtual offering plate very often, and when we do, we really mean that we need your help. So keep us in your prayers next 3 days. You're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Yes, over the weekend, Democrat presidential candidate Bernie Sanders found a new way to hurl an insult at one of his political enemies within the Democrats.
Bernie is hurling insults?
Hurling insult.
Okay.
Now brace yourselves. This is the ultimate nasty coming from Bernie Sanders to Elizabeth Warren. Do you know what he called Elizabeth Warren? He called her a capitalist.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, he went on ABC News and called her a capitalist.
And meanwhile, now, what is Bernie Sanders worth? He and his wife and
at least
three homes.
$3 million. Yeah.
Yeah. He made most of his money off that book, I think. And then he told people, if you don't like it, write your own book. They said, you're a hypocrite for making all this money off a book and keeping it. And he goes, well, write your own book. He sounded like a capitalist. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He put his labor in and then got a good return on his labor.
Yep. Okay. This way said, there are differences between Elizabeth and myself. They're good buddies, first name basis. Elizabeth, I think, as you know, has said that she is a capitalist through her bones. I'm not. So there you have it. She's a capitalist. Now, what's going on here is Elizabeth Warren has risen to the top. Some polls have her ahead of former Vice President Joe Biden now and well ahead of Bernie Sanders. But I find this an interesting tactic by Bernie Sanders. In order, he thinks, to gain ground again against Elizabeth Warren is to call her a capitalist. And to kind of back that kind of thinking, he's released a new major proposal to end what he calls corporate greed and corruption. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to require large companies across the United States to give ownership stakes to their workers. if he becomes the next president of the United States, he says he's going to force these companies to give 20% of their shares to the workers. So the workers will hold 20%.
Can a president do that?
Well, I'm not sure. That's would be his plan. And he's not finished yet. He says he told the Associated Press about his plan to overhaul what he calls an obviously broken and totally absurd corporate tax system, appointing an attorney general who would break up large monopolies and giving workers 20% shares in their companies and 45% of the seats on their corporate boards. Now, folks, this is knocking on the door of nationalizing corporate America. And if you don't know what that means, that's government takeover of companies.
And that's really what so true socialists in communist countries do.
Yeah.
That's what was done in Venezuela by Hugo Chavez, nationalized major portions of their industry. Listen, this is absolutely illegal, what Bernie Sanders is saying. It's unconstitutional. You can't just tell a corporation, well, I mean, you can pass regulations, you know, but I don't think that is legal, because it is knocking on the door of nationalizing, where the government basically tells you how to run. Well, what's the difference between that and telling a company what they have to produce?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. You can't just simply order corporations. Corporations have rights. It's this is almost confiscation on the part of the government. And first of all, you'd need Congress to pass laws to do that. The president can't just simply order it. But to your point, Bernie Sanders is feeling a little bit of the desperation pinch. So he is, in his mind, insulting Elizabeth Warren, calling her a capitalist.
Did Elizabeth Warren respond by saying, "How dare you call me a capitalist?"
dare you, sir?
Because, Bernie, I want to nationalize medical care in this country, so I can't be a capitalist.
Oh, my goodness.
That's actually probably good for Elizabeth Warren, that she would be criticized from the left by Bernie Sanders, because that, you know, that would...
That might help her with
the... That's what I'm saying, with the middle of the roaders out there, you know, who are looking for a... Maybe they don't want to vote for President Trump, but they don't want somebody who's a communist, maybe by... Bernie Sanders saying, "I'm a communist." She's not. I'm changing the word. You know, that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm the communist here. Elizabeth Warren is not a communist.
I was a communist before Elizabeth Warren was even born.
I was a commie when commies weren't cool.
That's right.
I had my honeymoon in Moscow.
Actually, it was Havana, I think.
Havana?
Yeah. He went down, his good buddy Castro.
So he did something in Moscow. Anyway, the point is that there's probably Bernie supporters who are going, "Yeah, do that. We're going to tell these corporations what to do," because they don't understand how the country works either.
But is this a winning tactic that you take into an election year? I mean, I want to get rid of capitalism in this country, and I want
to
think
so. Bernie Sanders thinks.
Well, and his advisors must have okayed this. I mean, let's face it, he's no Donald Trump. Okay. So I mean, he's not gonna just wing it with a tweet and say something like this. So his advisors, they must have said, "You're gonna have to outflank her to the left. You're gonna have to call her names. You can start off with capitalists."
Can you imagine a debate stage, Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders? What would happen? That would be the most watched debate ever, I think.
That would be King Kong versus Godzilla-ish.
Oh, man. Okay, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues here on the American Family Radio.
You're such a capitalist.
Network. We're going to find a way to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day now in the next 3 minutes. We shall return with more of today's issues on American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
And of course, the narrative is that President Trump is a racist, and of course, he wants to cut down on illegal immigration, and so therefore it means he must hate the Somalis of Minneapolis or whoever else is living there.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our tour of the Holy Land in March, one of the places we'll stop is called the House of Caiaphas. This is the place where Jesus experienced the mock trial in front of the Sanhedrin that you read about in the Bible before he was taken to Pilate. He was actually held there in that house. We go there. We visit there. We see where that was. And then right beside the house are steps that date back to the time of Christ. They're stone steps that date back to the time of Christ. Those were the very steps that Jesus walked from the Garden of Gethsemane as he was brought to this mock trial at the House of Caiaphas. That's just one of the places we'll visit in March on our Holy Land tour. For all the information on this March 12th through the 20th trip, go to twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
The Atlanta Braves have a long-standing tradition. They pass out foam tomahawks to fans, and they broadcast the famous Tomahawk Chop. But that long-standing tradition came to an end thanks to the St. Louis Cardinals. It seems reliever Ryan Helsley is a member of the Cherokee Nation, and he took great offense at the Tomahawks. He said Braves fans were disrespectful and disappointing. The Braves quickly backtracked and apologized. They said they would no longer distribute the foam tomahawks during the games where Mr. Helsley might be present. The Atlanta Braves may have lost more than just a playoff game, folks. They also surrendered to a politically correct mob of one person. Now, it seems to me the most appropriate course of action would have been for every Atlanta fan to show up at the stadium with not just one, but two foam tomahawks. Unfortunately, that first inning collapse happened, and, well, as they say, enjoy the offseason, fellas. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to this program and to listening for American Family Radio. By the way, if you drive out of range of one of our radio stations, we have an app on our your iPhone, your iPad, or similar devices, and you just download the app, and it takes you go to the App Store, download the app. Takes you about a minute or less usually to download it, and then you just can click on there anytime, anywhere, as long as you have, you know, high speed internet, and listen to AFR. Thousands of people now are listening to us across the country and around the world on our app.
Yeah. Now, if you go to the App Store, if you have an iPhone, where do you go if you have an Android?
Maybe Brent knows. I don't know. I've never had an Android.
Huh? There's a separate app.
I think people know who have Android.
Androids. But the app is available for your Android.
On both, yeah.
Yes, Android as well.
On Androids. Androids sound to me like something that comes from outer space.
Well, because it's
you know, the invasion of
right.
the...
Invasion of the Androids.
Yes, doesn't... I'm
no, that's sci-fi-ish.
Wouldn't you go see that movie?
Probably. Invasion of the Androids?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think so.
There was explosions. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
If stuff blew up, of course
okay.
I would.
Okay.
You like those kind of movies, right?
I do.
Yeah.
If Iron Man would show up.
The sci-fi.
But alas, Iron Man is dead.
Is he really?
Oh, Tim.
Robert Downey Jr.
Is
dead?
No, Robert Downey Jr. is not. Iron Man died. Didn't you see Endgame? Well, Avengers Endgame?
Okay, hold on just a minute. I know we're getting probably what you would call, quote, far afield from the main topics for this show. But I did enjoy Iron Man, the movies with Robert Downey Jr.
Back in 2008.
But no. I don't know. Fred, am I being mocked?
Very subtly, though.
That wind is blowing in that direction.
It's very subtle.
Sometimes when you experience mockery from a good friend, you don't really realize that's going on until...
He couldn't be doing that to me.
All right. So anyway, Ed, how about this? We'll pick this up later.
Okay. All right.
Let's move back to some
more serious
stuff.
Some
meat.
Yeah.
Tim, have you been watching Downton Abbey?
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Downton.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah. It's a TV show.
British.
Yeah.
Movie
just released. I haven't watched it in
years. I don't follow it, intently.
Great show.
I suddenly realized it was make-believe, that these people weren't real, and I stopped watching it. I thought it was reality TV.
Yeah, that's something.
I was always shaking my head. Those British.
But you do believe Iron Man is real, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you for getting back at Ed, and I didn't have to.
Okay. See how I worked that?
Yeah,
Let's use another term. I stick handled right around that.
All right, we're trying to get to some serious news.
Mm. Yeah. Well, let me bring you up to date on what's going on with regards to President Trump and Turkey and Syria and Kurdish forces, because what has happened over the last 48 hours that the Kurdish forces have announced a deal with Damascus after the U.S. pullout. So you have the Kurds getting together with what might have been considered an enemy not too long ago because they believe the United States has turned their back. The Kurds believe turned their back on them. Second development in all of this is that the United States now is saying Turkey is not abiding by some kind of agreement not to turn on the Kurds. All of that is leading to, apparently, according to South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, and this is going to be cut number three, Brent, Lindsey Graham came out and criticized the president openly over saying he was going to withdraw U.S. forces from Syria. So now Lindsey Graham is saying, okay, he's together with the president because the plan is Turkey is doing what apparently they promised the United States they wouldn't do. So now Lindsey Graham plans to meet with the president, President Trump, later today, and they are going to announce crippling sanctions against Turkey. Remember, President Trump said just a few days ago, he warned President Erdogan of Turkey, I will cripple your economy.
Right.
That's what he said, if you misbehave in there. Well, apparently they are misbehaving. So here's Senator Graham.
I'm going to meet with the president this afternoon. I've been working with Democrat and Republican colleagues to issue sanctions against Turkey, and the blame here is with Turkey. 3 weeks ago, I met Erdogan at the UN in New York. This safe zone concept of where we'd keep Turkey and the Kurds away from each other with an international force was working. A week after that, he basically lied to me, called up President Trump, saying I'm going into Turkey, and the rest is history. It's quickly deteriorating inside of Syria. I blame Turkey. There's going to be crippling sanctions imposed by the Congress to supplement what President Trump's administration has done. We're going to send a signal to Turkey that's unmistakable in the eyes of Erdogan and the world, and we're going to break his economy until he stops the bloodshed.
You know, I listened to this interview that Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, gave on Fox and Friends this morning, and I was trying to pull back a little bit and understand, because just a week or so ago, Senator Graham totally disagreeing, vehemently opposed to what the president had announced. But what I'm getting now is that maybe President Trump is Graham saying President Trump was hoodwinked by Erdogan?
Who said that he lied?
Yeah.
Lied to him.
He
lied to him. But Is Graham actually saying that the president, President Trump, was deceived by Erdogan into believing that Turkey would not attack the Kurds once they got into Syria? And now they're discovering, gee, Turkey didn't keep its word. Is there some naivete going on here on somebody's part that the Turks would actually not say that we won't touch the Kurds when we go into Turkey, go into Syria? I'm a little confused by what's going on here. But the development this morning is that apparently Senator Graham and the president are back on good terms on this issue and are going forward together.
Yeah, you know, Turkey considers the Kurds to be terrorists. That's what they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Kurds, they don't have their own nation, all right? So they are kind of scattered northern Syria, kind of eastern Turkey. There's some in Iran. There's some in Iraq. And because they have pushed for independence, the Turks call them terrorists. So they don't, I think they would wipe them out if they could.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've started shelling a Kurdish-controlled city in northern Syria. And so now the Kurds are allying themselves with the Assad regime. And this is bizarre. And this, I think, is part of why the president does not want us involved, because it is a mess over there. And so now what happens if Turkey continued to go after the Kurds in northern Syria? Would we, in deference to what the Kurds have done on our behalf in some of these fights against ISIS, for example, are we going to side with the Assad regime and defend northern Syria against Turkey, who is an ally, supposedly an ally, and a member of NATO? And the NATO, standards are when one member is attacked, the rest of NATO jumps in. I think, Tim, as you said, this is a recipe for a world war.
Yeah. This, if you look up the word quagmire in the dictionary, I think it's going to show the Middle East. You know, this sounds like you're over there and you're having to pick between the Bloods, the Crips, and MS-16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like that. And on all this, there's no real good guys. Now, the Kurds, we have worked with them. So I would say they are good guys, the Kurds, traditionally in our mind.
Because we have given support to them and they have
helped us
done
on ISIS.
The majority of the fighting against ISIS.
Right. But
in that part of the world.
So if I can ask people to think a little differently, no, I'm not saying this is right. I'm just saying think like this, so you'll maybe understand what the Turkish government feels like. What if Turkey was supporting ISIS, okay? What if they were aligned with ISIS, right? How would we view them? How would we view the Turks? Well, the Turks, in their minds, the Kurds are ISIS, right? Am I right?
Yeah, they view them as terrorists.
As terrorists, right. Freedom fighters. They're terrorists and they're trying to unsettle the Turkish government and the Turkish government.
Well, they
want their own independence.
They want their own independence, so they want basically part of Turkey to be
right,
given to them.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the Turkey views them as sworn enemies, but we, the United States, are working with them for other reasons, not because we want the Kurds to attack Turkey or try to take over part of Turkey, but that is that is how the Turks view them. So I'm just saying it's very, very complicated, the whole thing. Trying to figure out what the best thing. Then you got Israel sitting there, right?
Yes.
A few hundred miles from where all this is going on.
Right.
And Erdogan has turned against Israel in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Erdogan, he's becoming more, I don't want to say jihad-oriented, but he has begun to turn towards a more radical interpretation of Islam. Some would say the real interpretation of Islam. Because Turkey was created in 1925, thereabouts, as a secular state.
Mm-hmm.
But Erdogan, over the last, four or five years or so, he has turned, a lot more Sharia law, all those kinds of things. So,
I don't know. What do we do? Just say, listen, don't attack Israel and don't attack Americans. And other than that, that's kind of what we're doing here, right? Other than that, y'all fight it out. Isn't that basically what we've said here?
I think that President Trump does not want more U.S. troops or U.S. forces getting involved in that part of the world.
Yeah.
So, to your point, we're staying out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. What else you got, Fred?
Well, as it may be Columbus Day, but there are activities going on with regards to the Democrats and their bid for impeachment against the president. And, you know, here's what we're learning in all of this. Adam Schiff, who is the Democrat, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. His modus operandi, his tactics are basically this. He wants a whole bunch of people to appear before that committee in secret. And he's only going to select things out of their testimony that he wants the public to hear. He doesn't want the Republicans, if there's somebody sitting in there, they're not allowed to ask any questions, and they're not allowed to say anything in public has to been what has been said inside. All of that is kind of leading to an assessment by people like Mark Levin, talk show host and brilliant lawyer that he is, to say this is all a bit of a joke. And he even raises what happened during the testimony of Brett Kavanaugh. The same kinds of things that the Democrats only want the American people to hear certain things, not the whole truth. This is Mark Levin, cut number 5.
This is the first time in American history that we have a rogue Speaker of the House and a small majority Democrat party in the House of Representatives that's trying to drag our country in a different direction. They have rejected completely and utterly the background of the impeachment process. You're going to try to remove a president of the United States without the president, without the American people knowing anything about his accuser except what the Democrats, the media, and his lawyers want to tell us? It's either that or they're creating a Blasey Ford moment, holding back until the right moment, they think, to spring their witness.
Yeah, it's pretty scary what's going on here.
Shameful.
It's scary.
It's shameful on the part of, if you want to impeach, okay, and you over that phone call,
mm-hmm.
okay, that the president released, if that's what you want to take, you want to impeach a president and remove him from office, physically remove him, get out, you and your team get out. If that's what you want to remove him over, then you know what, Nancy Pelosi and Adam, how do you pronounce his last name?
Schiff.
All right, let's have a vote. Put up or shut up. Huh? I mean, and if you're going to have witnesses, first of all, that is a complete and total waste of time. We all know the witnesses aren't going to make a difference on anybody's vote.
Right.
So let's do away. It's a charade. I don't even know why the Democrats are doing it. I would just go with, we hate Trump. Who's with us? Let's
right.
take a vote. You can take a vote right now in 10 minutes. Who hates Trump? Raise your hand. That's all you need. And then you can decide whether to proceed. Or, you know, you can phrase it in a different way. That's how I phrase it. You can say, who wants to impeach? Raise your hand.
Right.
There's nobody going to go, you know what? I think I'd like to hear some witnesses.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
I'd like to hear some evidence before. Maybe there's 5 or 6, I don't know, that would fall into that category. But genuinely speaking, they're everybody knows which way you're going to vote on this kind of thing. But I think the more this goes on, I think the more this favors the president, because I think the average American out there is going to go, you know what? The Democrats have said they're going to impeach, and yet they won't even hold a vote on proceeding with impeachment. And furthermore, I don't think the average American likes the idea of holding secret hearings, all right? When you're talking about something as serious as removing a duly elected president from his office, and you're going to do that in secret,
right?
I don't think that's a winner for the Democrats. You guys?
Well, no, I don't. I think that most Americans they think if you're going to do this, both sides have to have their day in court, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Using that as a metaphor, you're going to have to allow President Trump and his attorneys to question his accusers, to bring forth his own witnesses.
But they don't want to do that. The Democrats don't want to do that because they know Hunter Biden's coming up.
Right.
And they know possibly Joe Biden's coming up to testify. Mm-hmm. And they don't want that. That's why they're holding it. Who knows? We'll see. Time will tell. But I'm wondering if Nancy Pelosi, as intelligent as she is politically speaking, I disagree with all her politics, by the way, just about. I'm talking about being a savvy legislator, okay? If she may have called the wrong play right here.
I don't know what's going on in her mind.
It's kind of like the dog that catches the car.
Right.
Now what?
Yeah.
You know,
I chase these cars all day. Now I got one.
She seems to be in a now what moment. You know, now what do we do? Because if we have a full scale impeachment, that is articles of impeachment, whatever they call it, beyond a impeachment inquiry. And don't you love this, folks? You learn these new terms.
Yeah.
Impeachment inquiry moves to an articles of impeachment. That in other words, if you move from that to one to the other, you get into a formal proceeding,
right?
Which Nancy Pelosi does not want the Republicans to have subpoena power and call their own witnesses and call Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and those things like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if she does hold an official vote and they vote and list articles of impeachment, you'll have all that stuff she doesn't want. You'll have that all in the Senate. And the risk is if the Democrats don't know what's coming when that happens, they could lose that in serious fashion and do permanent damage to them in 2020.
To that point, in this interview that South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham had on Fox and Friends this morning.
This is the Lindsey Graham hour here, isn't it?
I tell you, he's on there a lot.
He is on there.
But anyway, at the end of the interview, he's not only talking about what's going on with Turkey and Syria, but he also talked about he's fed up with Nancy Pelosi. And he says he's going to get as many senators together as possible, and they're going to send a letter to Nancy Pelosi. And I think this is the proverbial gun to the head, that Nancy Pelosi had better do something other than talk. And to your point, allow a vote to occur. This is Lindsey Graham, cut number 4.
What a joke. I'm going to send a letter to Nancy Pelosi, signed by as many Republican senators as I can find, to say that the transcript does not represent an impeachable offense. Some are troubled by it. I am not. We give money to the Ukraine. We have a reason to be concerned about corruption. But we're going to write a letter to Pelosi saying, if you're going to impeach the president based on this phone call, the transcript of the phone call, that is a non-starter in the Senate. Don't destroy the country over that.
All right. So there you have it.
Another angle.
The transcript he's talking about is this. The transcript of the phone call between President Trump and the new president of the Ukraine back in July of this year. And that transcript has been made public.
Yeah, now to Tim's point, it was made public after Nancy Pelosi said, we're moving forward. Remember, it was just based on the kind of general description of what happened.
Yeah.
And then President Trump said, okay, fine, I'm releasing the full transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see there's no there there. Listen, I would say that it is in that what that phone call with Ukraine President Zelensky was all about is in the eye of the beholder. If you hate Trump, you say this was terrible. This for that, quid pro quo.
And say that three times fast.
I couldn't even say it once. Slowly. But if you're a Trump supporter, you go, I don't see anything there. So if it's in the eye of the beholder, then why bother with this? Let's just say we hate Trump. We're Democrats. We want him out.
Right.
We're not fooling anybody with our take on this.
You know, we have an impeachment vote. It's coming up a year from now.
Yes.
All right. Anyway,
you're talking about the election.
I'm talking about the election. Yeah. The American people will decide whether they want President Trump or they want whoever the Democrats are going to put up. Which, by the way, I'm not going to hold you to this because things change, obviously. But if you had to guess today, who will be the Democrats?
Well, if I had to guess today, I would say Elizabeth Warren.
Okay,
I think she's a real risk. Of somewhere,
but aren't they all
self-destructing at some point? Mm-hmm. They're. I'm not sure there's any. You know, Joe Biden's the most probably capable politician in that group, I don't think he's going to make it to the nomination.
Right.
I think it would be Elizabeth Warren, but she just seems like the kind of person who is capable of destroying her own candidacy.
Yeah.
So you put all those eggs in that basket, you could wind up with a
disaster.
Also,
it would be a capitalist versus socialist.
Oh my goodness.
Contest straight
Absolutely.
Up, right?
Absolutely.
No hiding, no blurred lines.
Right.
Like with Biden, Biden is not viewed as a socialist.
Right.
All right. Now you may say, well, Tim, his policies reflect socialism. Well, okay. I'm just telling you that the vast majority of Americans do not view Joe Biden as a socialist. They do view Elizabeth Warren as one. Of course, she's unashamed.
Right.
Unashamed about that. So what about you, Fred? If you had to guess today, would you guess her?
I would say right now Elizabeth Warren, unless something happens at the Democrat convention.
Well, but we're talking about just today.
Oh, today.
Yeah. Today.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody left.
Nope.
Joe Biden was their hope.
Yes.
And he may yet win. I don't know, but I'm like, Ed, I don't see how he's going to finish. The fella just makes too many mistakes as far as he's clearly not as sharp as he once was because he's getting on up there. You know, politically speaking, well, he's 70. Well, physically speaking, what is he going to be, 78 soon? 77?
I think 77 in November, I think.
Yeah. So, and then Warren, you know, if she may win, but she's, like I said, she's a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, wants to get rid of private health insurance. I don't know how that's going to fly.
He's 76 years old.
All right.
He turns 77 in November, Joe Biden.
Okay. And Bernie Sanders could not beat Donald Trump.
No.
In a one-on-one. So after that, you look down the bench and you go, you know, there's nobody on our team who can get a hit.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
So,
but the Democrats have an ace. They have an ace. It's Beto.
Oh, Beto?
Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
Beto, Facebook, my dental appointment, O'Rourke. That's your hope?
Yeah, that's your big hope for America.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. They have nobody. There's nobody on the bench.
No.
Now.
No.
Now, if you remember, Brother Tim here has predicted that if somebody's going to enter the race as the, quote, savior of the Democrat Party, I'm just saying keep your eyes on Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to come in there. I would say the chances of that happening are 5% or less. But I'm just saying if you're a Democrat, if you're a leader in the Democrat Party and you go, we got no chance with this, with this field of candidates we're putting out there right now. Let's look around. Now, another option would be Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
And well, then there's Ed's option, Michelle Obama.
At the convention only, I think.
Yeah.
If there's no clear winner.
Yeah.
But you're just setting me up to be mocked by Tim now.
Yeah, I'm going to resist at this point. We've only got 2 minutes to go here, and I'm going to resist. I've already said that many times, what I think you're Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama could likely beat President Trump one-on-one if it were only an election, but she does not want to be president of the United States, and I can't blame her, okay? She's got a good life right now. All right. She's doing book tours, going to Beyonce concerts, going on yachts with George Clooney. I mean, come on, man. You want to be stuck in the White House going Syria or Turkey? What do we do? When you only got 25 years left? All right. We shall return momentarily. Thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving Day.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Thanksgiving Day in Canada today.
Go home and watch the Cowboys and the Lions. By the way, I did see on Facebook someone corrected me. I was just kidding about the Cowboys and the Lions. They don't actually play each other.
They don't play each other, but they both play on Thanksgiving Day.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
Okay. My jokes haven't gone over well today.
All right. We shall return with more in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.